because not everyone's the Emma Watson type. We did a personality test on Hannah's channel and we found out that she's like a perfect human. And you're also like a perfect visual specimen. Yeah.
Just perfectly balanced in every single way. I've got nothing to work on, not even my modesty.
No, definitely not your modesty.
Welcome to Doing It with me, Hannah Witten, where we talk all things sex, relationships, dating, and our bodies. Hello, welcome back. This week's guest is Shan Boody. She is a sexologist, a YouTuber, an intimacy expert, and oh boy, is it a good one. So I had to get Shan on the podcast to celebrate the release of her new book, The Game of Desire, which takes a group of women on a journey to become their own intimacy experts. The book contains loads of different methods for this, and I like to describe Shan as the ultimate Ravenclaw when it comes to intimacy and relationships. She will do her homework. And Shan gave the women going through this process with her the biggest personality quiz thing ever. Like all of these different professional quizzes, like it's very personalized and it feels really effective and really real. It's like, here are all of the tools that you can use in order to connect with other people and being a good seducer and finding your own style when it comes to dating. It is absolutely fascinating and I could talk to Shan for hours about it. So without further ado, I'm just going to let Shan take it away with her expertise and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. We are rolling.
I thought that was your intro voice.
We are recording.
Welcome right now to the new podcast, Doing It by Hannah Witt.
Yeah. I see. You nailed it.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
So, Shan Boody, thanks for having me in your home in LA.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah. So you have a book out. Mm-hmm. This is your second book.
It is my second book.
But there was like a 10-year gap between the two.
Yes.
So The Game of Desire, this new one, how did it come about? Because I mean, I like to center myself in everything, obviously. And a few years ago, we recorded another podcast together and we were talking about The Game, as in Neil Strauss's book. And I remember thinking, oh, Shan's being like a lot more forgiving of this than I am. Mm-hmm. I found that book really difficult. And I remember you being like, but it's all like psychology and it's like da 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 da. Were you already thinking about writing this book then, or was that you were just like having these thoughts and ideas and then the book kind of came together after?
Well, we were talking about that because I had the show at the time called Shan Boody's Your Perfect Date,
yes,
which was me testing out different psychological principles on dates to see if someone can be an exceptional dater, just mm-hmm. like someone's an exceptional cook or exceptionally good at golf. And The Game was a lot of my research base. What I think is different about this book in particular, The Game of Desire, is that I learned from the conversation we had. I learned from the conversations I'd heard other people having. Mm-hmm. And so in essence, right, if I teach you how to do a dunk, right, that's what the game is. Here's how you do a slam dunk. But that person never learned conditioning. They never learned about teamwork. They never learned about what their strengths are.
Yeah.
They didn't learn how to dribble. And so all they know how to do—
Because all of them were learning the same skill.
Exactly. They were all learning the same trick shot. But to be a true expert in intimacy, it starts with knowing yourself. So this book is a 5-phase strategy. And only phase 4 really gets to like the fun tips. All before that, it's about self-discovery and personal identification.
Because what will work for some people will not work for others.
Right.
Because I can like maybe see someone being really flirty in a particular way or really seductive in one way. And I'm like, that would never work for me.
Yes.
Like, that's great for you. But if I emulated that, if I copied that, it would just come off wrong, awkward, like embarrassing.
Well, the you who you are today, if you like went backwards and addressed why that's awkward for you, or you went backwards and like identify the different traits that you have or the things that you've told yourself, mm-hmm. you could start working towards becoming that. Like the theme of the book is like, you are whoever you consistently choose to be. And so you can consistently choose to be that person. Doesn't mean you have to, because I mean, you only have one life to live. I'm not asking you to be like Marilyn Monroe and Ellen DeGeneres and The Rock. Like, you don't have to try to please all people, but If there is a part of yourself that you want to work on, know that you have every capability and right to do so.
And so where do you fit in that, I guess, sliding scale of learning just this blanket set of rules that isn't unique or personal at all, that actually, like the way that I saw the game is like, it's about manipulation mm-hmm. almost. And then at this other side of things, just like, I just want to learn how to meet someone, or I want to be more confident when it comes to dating. Like, where do you feel like you fit in that? And also, like, do you ever think about the ethics and the moral responsibility that you have with that kind of stuff?
So the book is, it's 5 secrets to dating with dominance. And mm-hmm. those 5 secrets are, number 1 is no. You have to know yourself inside and out. And part of the no is like going back and interviewing people who know you well, and also an ex, to really get a full picture of who your intimate self is. And then it's change. So once you've identified what some of your pitfalls are, the reasons why you are chronically having issues in this one area, it's up to you to start changing them. And then it's about learning. At that point, you just enlist the help of experts. You learn, and in this book in particular, we learn from marketers, strippers, phone sex actresses, self-defense coaches, psychologists. A pickup artist was also one of the teachers we had. We had a flirting expert who was an androgynous. She's non-binary. And so she really plays with her sensuality and sometimes with his sensuality, depending on how they feel that day.
Yeah.
And so it was about learning from a gamut of people. And then it's like, okay, let me go out there and practice. And practice is what feels good for me and what doesn't. What suits me and what doesn't suit me.
Did you get people practicing like all of the stuff that they learn? Or was it like pick the things that you're kind of more intrigued by or feel comfortable with?
Practice was really about let's do it all.
Oh, cool.
It's like, let's try and see what works. And it was scary for a lot of people. For example, we went on group experiments and I allowed the women in the group to say which ones they didn't want to come to. So if they felt that one exercise was
just
not in
there. So you could have like a hard no.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. If you're just like, that doesn't feel like my jam at all. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to come out and try it. But I think that it's about playing. At the end of the day, to become a good cook, for example, you might have to start with like the principles, the basics to know like what does and doesn't work, what temperatures. But exceptional cooks, they start freestyling. They get their own groove going, right? And so yes, in the beginning, you might have to be a bit formulaic, but the better you get, it's like a dancer. And when you watch a dancer, you shouldn't be seeing the counts in their head. And once you see them making the counts, you lose the art form of it. So I always say when it comes to well-executed seduction, effort has to be both your secret and primary ingredient.
And have you ever had to use these yourself? Because when you were doing the show, like Shampoo Is Your Perfect Date, you were seeing Jared.
Yes.
So have you ever like purposefully used these yourself?
All the time.
Oh, yeah?
And not just like on dates. In meetings.
Ooh,
in
that's such
Uber
a good point.
In my Uber ride, like when on you.
Oh my God. What is happening right now? Maybe this is why I like you so much.
That's why I think it's like, you know, it's not a, this book to me is not, actually I did an interview with somebody who was like, what's great about this book and what makes it different from the game, for example, is that you teach people how to stay in relationships. And I was like, no, I don't. This is really just about know who you are, know your strengths, work on yourself, learn from the best, start practicing, and then start being that person. After that, that's a whole different set of things to learn when you want to make a long-term relationship.
But I think maybe what that person was getting at is like with the game, it was like you said, here are some formulaic things in order to get like anyone in bed. Mm. And the thing is that the thing I'm not denying is that it works because we are all like mental human beings and the same psychological tricks will work on all of us. But what by performing that kind of like ritualistic stuff does is it doesn't allow for an actual connection mm-hmm. or to actually understand any kind of compatibility. And I think like especially with the first stage of like know yourself in your thing, which, and I was like reading about it today, like that worksheet that you gave all of your participants, and it is thorough, and about how like, okay, you got to know yourself, and then also like what kind of partner would you be compatible with? And also like, what kind of partner are you attracted to? Mm-hmm. And so rather than letting people like go off and try and seduce anyone and everyone, because it's some kind of like literal game. Yeah. It is more about like you be more selective and you're better at that. And so maybe by picking better partners, they're more likely to succeed. Oh, I hate the word succeed because
We'll have like, a meaningful connection.
Whether that is a long-term relationship or like a great hookup. But I think, yeah, it's just always more likely to be better if you have that foundation rather than just like,
are you the car salesman who's just like trying to get over on someone and make a sale? Or do you know how to read people, assess what they want, and sell them a product that you know was going to work for them? Yeah. And that's what I'm asking these women to do, is to know themselves inside and out. But yeah, a massive part of that is also partner selection, which they don't get to, I think, until like phase three, which is about learning. But a big part of that is like, for example, when we went to school, you spent 18 years trying everything.
Yeah.
Like math and science and gym. And along the way, each step of the way, you start, you know, narrowing down what your focus is until you get to college. Like, I think this is my general field of study. And even then, you don't have to pick quite yet. But when it comes to relationships, I don't think we do that same process of giving ourselves all of the space that we need in order to test out different things, find what works for us in low-risk environments, and then start looking for partners that we truly know we could thrive based on who they are and what they can provide.
I feel like one of the things that a lot of people will be curious about, and obviously I am too, what are in stage four some of those tips and tricks, those things that you learn from those experts? What are your favorite ones?
I'll give you my favorite ones. My favorite one actually came from the stripper. She gave like how to approach somebody. Ooh. And so her job is to gauge the interest. So I can't remember the exact tips, but it was like, number one, read the person's temperature. So before you go and approach somebody, and she persists and I persist that people do the approaching. Get into the driver's seat of your love life. Don't be a passenger waiting for the right person to find you. If you see someone that you want to talk to, go over and start a conversation. And there's a big difference between like, I like your shirt, where'd you get it from? And like, hey, yo, ma, can I holla at you?
Yeah.
So when we think of approaching someone, we think of the latter. Like, let me put everything on the line and prepare myself for rejection. But she's like, no, look at their temperature. Are they in a good mood? Are they in a rush? If they're kind of chilling, you know, make eye contact with them three times. If that works, then you do a gesture. And a gesture can be like tongue out, look away. It can be like a little wave.
Yeah.
If they return the gesture.
I've done winks before. Which is maybe like a bit too bold, but it's worked.
No, it's perfect. Hers is this. We can't show it, but it's like tongue out and then hides her face.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. And then if the person returns the gesture, she then walks over. She starts every conversation with consent to make a culture of that. She says, do you mind if I join you? And then as soon as she sits down, she asks a question. If the person returns and asks a question back, then she stays. If they don't, she gets up and leaves because she's like, they're not trying to engage with me.
I think that point about consent is so important, because when we think about people approaching you, like strangers in a social setting that you do not want to be approached by, often they start a conversation that doesn't give you an out.
Yeah.
And it's not always on the person who is on the receiving end of that. It's not their responsibility to either give or not give consent. It's often on the person doing the asking to give that person the option. So like, may I join you, is giving that person the option of being like, no, rather than like, oh, hey, I'm going to say a statement at you and come sit down.
Exactly.
And yeah, I feel like in maybe, and not even in situations where it's on the approach, it's someone you know, rather than just saying like, hey, do you want to get a drink tonight? And you could follow that up with no worries if not, or like, don't worry if you can't, because then that's allowing them, giving them permission to reject you.
I, for example, if I want someone to do something, I don't give them the out. Like if I really want you to do something, but if I actually don't want to and I'd rather stay home, I'm like, no stress at all. If you don't want to, like I'm not tripping at all. But if I actually want somebody, but then again, it's like that question of, there's phases to it. You don't get to that place where I'm asking you to increase the intimacy until we've had a solid banter.
Yeah. And also, you can always, when you have gotten to maybe that level of a relationship with someone, explain to them why it is you want them to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like really be like, hey, can we do this thing together? Because I'm scared of going alone, or I think you'd really enjoy it. Like rather than just being like, come with me.
That's actually one of the things in the book. It talks about the five most influential words that we should use.
What is it?
It's because you. Instantly, new, and free.
Okay, I understand you and because.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about those other three.
Instantly is because it like it just creates an urgency to things. And so like I instantly knew I liked you. Or I, it's just that sense of urgency. Mind you, these are also words used in sales. So like, this is going to instantly work for you. You're going to instantly love this car. Free, just because it's like a very, it's a wonderful word.
Free as in doesn't cost anything, or free as in freedom?
But it's your connotation, right? Because I think in either case, you can't dislike that word. And so if you're giving something away for free, or you're giving someone freedom, the word free is just like, it's a naturally relaxing word to people. And new, just because like
novelty, excitement.
Exactly, dopamine.
I like that. What has been one of the things that you learned from the process of writing this book?
So much. I have learned so much about myself, things I have to work on for me. I've learned, what is the biggest thing that I've probably learned? Is that like, oh, change doesn't happen overnight, which I knew that. It's a stupid sentence to say out loud. But when I first started this book, I was like, this is a 5-week process to becoming an ultimate seducer. Uh-huh. Like this basic used car salesman pitch.
You're going to instantly be more confident.
You'll be instantly free and new because you are awesome. That is what my pitch was. And I started to really work with these women. And I'm like, oh, we have so much work to do, even just around uncovering. And I call it the debris. Because I think everybody has a natural light, natural gifts, but a lot of debris gets placed on top of that. And that hardens over time to become your persona. And so you start to identify yourself as like, I'm just protective. I'm just closed. I'm just cutthroat. I'm just nervous. I'm just awkward. Like these aren't things that we should be like claiming as archetypes because they're not serving you. Especially if you've come to this group, you're admitting the fact that like you're not having success in this area. And so you can't be holding on to these traits. But to get people to let go of them, oh my gosh, it was like months. What ended up being a 5-week quick fix thing ended up being a 6-month experience with these women.
Wow.
And I was actually with them last night too. So it's an ongoing relationship.
Yeah. So tell me a bit more about that process of like finding those women and actually, because the book isn't just like a, these are the 5 steps. It's a, this is my experience going through these 5 steps with a group of very different people.
Yes, that's so important because I learned that through Your Perfect Date, is that everybody is like, you're already attractive or you're already confident. And I also took for granted too, how much work I had done before that. And so even then, a lot of the tips work for me because I've spent 10 years doing sex and intimacy education. Yeah. So my base is there. And so me just telling you these things, and again, I literally would not have known how much work it was unless I worked with people. So it was a blessing for me to do it that way because I think also as a reader, you're going to connect with someone and say, oh, I'm the Stephanie type, or the, one of the women in the book. I am this type.
Yeah.
Because not everyone's the Emma Watson type. We did a personality test on Hannah's channel and we found out that she's like a perfect human. And you're also like a perfect visual specimen. Yeah.
Just perfectly balanced in every single way. I've got nothing to work on, not even my modesty.
No, definitely not your modesty. It's perfect.
But did you find that, because from reading like the first bit of the book, I'm like, ooh, whoa, is like Shannon going to like have to be their therapist? Because I feel like in some instances, when it comes to really unraveling a lot of that stuff, and I don't think there's anything wrong in needing to like seek professional help when it comes to like pursuing your dating life, because often that stuff is so personal and it can, like you said, there's layers and layers and layers there of, and the women coming to you are very much, they were self-selecting of like, I need help.
Yes, exactly.
And so maybe there's a reason, maybe there's certain patterns that they've gotten into. Did you feel like maybe an extra level of responsibility of like, oh shit, am I their therapist now?
I did not select anybody who I felt needed therapy. Because that's a different, I'm not a therapist and that's not a service I can provide or offer. And so I really did choose people who I felt their primary issue was their lack of ability to solidify connections with others. And the women in the group, like their archetypes are like closed, very nervous, very blunt. One was like very, like her family's opinion of her relationships and her opinion were so drastically different. So she felt that she was doing this weird balancing act and one was a mother. And so it wasn't people whom like had gone through severe trauma and were trying to recover from it or had massive trust issues. And I don't think, not that this book isn't for that person, but going back to the game, like we all have different starting lines and your starting line might be with therapy. It might be with getting professional help in that regard. Mm-hmm. And then once you find your center that way, then maybe come to this book. And I think after you read this book, the game might be a good option for you because you're like, I want more tips. So it just assessing that, but also acknowledging what I can provide. So there definitely is times, but I think that this book is a repeatable format. I don't think you need to have me there. You could, because even in the book, the women were able to self-identify to, sorry, excuse me, the women were able to identify the other people's shortcomings consistently.
Ah, so all like, of them. Once you learn and once you kind of become aware, you can start being like, oh my God, you're such a XYZ.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we had like this, like a section in the book, it's like 13 reasons why you're getting ghosted, and they're anti-seducers, and all of the women had to pick who in the group had different anti-seducers, and consistently everyone chose the same one for certain people. So strangers who hardly knew each other were able to point it out for someone else.
What do you mean anti-seducers?
So like some of the anti-seducers are like the clinger would be like the doormat, the Peter Pan, the person doesn't want to grow up.
And they could point out from like a certain example, like what it was about that person that was turning people off.
Yeah. But at that point, we'd probably been together for 3 months. And so they started to see patterns of that person in the group dynamic. And also the group dynamic was incredible because of the fact that like you have these women who have nothing in common, who are coming together on a goal that not a lot of people feel comfortable saying out loud. So that was like an extra special part of the book to me.
Did you think that there was any difference? Because were most of the women seeking to date men? It was a bit of a mix.
There was two. There's one pansexual there and there's one lesbian who we also worked with.
So. Okay. What did you, was there any different depending on what gender you were trying to seduce, or was it just like blanket rule, humans are all the same?
Yeah, it really was. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, this is not, there's no sex tips in this book. Even like there's mind fucking, which is different than actual fucking. And so you weren't interacting with people's genitals. You're just interacting with people. And so there didn't need to be nuances, but I mean, representation matters. And so would I say that this is a book that's LGBT plus like accessible? Yes, in some ways, but also maybe for you, there's too much heterosexual commentary or language being used that might not feel as home to you. It depends. I read the game and it didn't need to be about my sex for me to learn from it. Mm-hmm. But for some people that is massively important. And I wouldn't make that promise that this book is that.
Okay. Yeah, no, fair enough. I remember you saying in the introduction when you were selecting the women, you did want
diversity.
Diversity. And I guess it's also, it's nice and affirming to me, at least as someone who, like, you know, ideally I like to think that we're not in a place where we're like, this is how men and women are like naturally different.
Yeah.
Like I find those conversations really like icky and I'm like, oh, are we still there? Really? So I'm glad to hear that like, this is something that just works on people. Or is it's like about a human to human connection.
Like I can't see even like the, like we had the male dating coach and at first he's like, I never teach women. I'm like, it doesn't matter. In actuality, he was an Asian male dating coach. And so his whole thing was teaching minority men. And I'm like, everyone in this group is a minority, either a visible minority or a sexual minority. And so it's the same principles because it's a difference between going out there and dating as a heterosexual cisgender white male and doing it as a black woman or as a queer woman.
Yeah, that's so true.
And so he was aware of those nuances. And so a lot of his tips and teachings really just worked so seamlessly.
Because is it about the fact that you're not starting from a position of power?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
How did that like come into all of the teachings, like about that relationship between dating and power?
I mean, it's important to acknowledge. I mean, I am called to acknowledge my privilege. You were called to acknowledge your privilege. Mm. And it works both ways. Where you're not privileged, also you have to be aware of to be able to make up for it. And so that's a part of the no phase. When you know, my favorite quote of all time is the key to happiness is managing expectations.
Mm.
And you can't do that if you're not aware of the pieces, the moving parts.
Yeah.
And the likelihood of how people are going to treat you based on how they perceive you. And so managing expectations and allowing that to inform how you approach situations, I think is a really, really big win for people.
I totally agree with the managing expectations thing, but I feel like a lot of people will have really high expectations for like a date or for whatever comes after. And then a lot of people balance that by then going like fully the other way and being like, I'm just gonna have no expectations.
Yeah,
like,
that's not good.
Yeah. What, how do you try and have that happy medium?
Well, I think you vet, right? You don't just go out on a date. We live in the culture that you could go on a date. Like you were going to go on the 25 dates before you met your partner.
Yeah.
Did you have any vetting or were you like any 25 people?
I yeah, because I gave myself like 2 months to do it, which isn't a lot of time. I was going to be basically going on a date every other day. And so I was just like, literally anyone and everyone.
So don't
Who I can get my hands on. Well, it was going to be for a book and a social dating experiment. But then I met my partner and it never happened.
So the experiment worked, guys. So there's no, that's also a big part of it too. There's no wrong way to skin a cat. I'm not saying, and that's one of the people in the book ends up dropping out. And in the end, her thing was like, I don't believe in this program. And that is fair, right? Yeah. Like her ideology was that no one should have to change and the right person will love you for who you are. And we're not supposed to be heady about these things. We're supposed to just be serendipitous. And I'm like, I power to you.
And that's also not the Shambhuti approach.
It's not my approach because it doesn't work in any other area of life, right? I can't just like think good thoughts and have a great career. I can't
Well, some people do believe that.
Some people do, and some people, mind you,
yeah.
work at Starbucks, and Steven Spielberg walks in and says, take off that apron and walk on my set. You are the next X movie star. That does happen for people. And is that most people's story? No. Most people had to move to LA, live in a bedroom with five other grown-ass adults, go on 17 different auditions a day, go to acting classes for 10 years before they got a two-part role, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that process to have a likely result of success in something is not just I walked outside and I just knew. Some people it is though. So, and I wouldn't even argue for you that was the case because you have done so much self-work. You were an educator. You listen to people. You surround yourself with these stories. You have parents who gave you an incredible example.
You're just saying this because I told you my love language was words of affirmation.
You said it was physical touch. I said it was so.
Both of them and you clearly weren't listening.
Oh, something to work on.
No, but I think all of that is so true because one of the things that occurred to me recently was how we get taught like how to do, like how to get a career, how to like pass exams in school, like how to drive. And when it comes to relationships, we're just—
Or sex.
Yeah, we're literally just going, off you go.
Right.
Good luck. Good luck. All right. Off you go then.
And statistically, that hasn't worked out for most people.
No.
And there's a stat that says 70% of people identify as lonely in present day.
I know, the loneliness epidemic.
Mm-hmm. And so I would say that if there ever was a time to be like, why don't we try something? Now would be that time. And especially because we're so aware. Maybe before we didn't have the comparison that we did now. Of like, wow, other people have so many friends. Other people are so loved. This person's going on 25 dates in 2 months. And like me, I can't even get one person to accept me on Tinder. So the comparison, I think, has really escalated people's feelings of isolation and inadequacy.
Yeah. And especially like with social media as well and seeing hashtag squad goals.
Right. Yes.
There's a lot of that. I was going to ask, how did you come up with this program? Because this is Shambhuti's 5-week, 6-month.
5 weeks, 6 months, ongoing, never ending.
Program for life. Like, how did you come up with it? Like, what was your process of the research that you did? Because I saw on Twitter or Instagram, you like posted that picture of all of the books that you read for research. And I loved that. But yeah, tell us a bit about that process.
I mean, it's been 10 years of my life, right? And I'm somebody who started in this field for selfish reasons. I didn't start because I'm like, I can be the change. I started because I'm like, I need to change. Like, this is shit. I had so much expectation and hope for my love life and sex life, and it just fell flat. And I'm like, let's start from the beginning and start learning. And that process of educating myself and immersing myself around great people and becoming an even better listener has transformed my love life. And so it was like, if it can work for me in 5 weeks. But no, it is, and I'm still learning to this day. So I actually want to transform my platform from being like, I am the sex expert to I want everyone to be a sex expert. I want everyone to be an intimacy expert.
Like about themselves and just, their partners.
In general, like the average, like more than half the population considers themselves to be a cook, right? They're like, because you need to cook.
That is so true. Because I don't, but my partner is.
Yes.
So I'm still in the, like, well, mind not you, quite
we're
there
in like
yet.
The Uber Eats phase where like cooking is like less necessary now than ever before. But nonetheless, like we don't look at cooking as like, there's only set people who can do this. It should be something that everyone's pretty well versed on. And I want for this space to start becoming that for the population as well.
Yeah. No, I love that, like idea of an approach to it. it should be accessible for everyone. There isn't like this elite of people who have all of the knowledge.
Yes.
And then...
and disseminate it bit by bit.
Yeah.
Just ask me a question, I'll give you that information. Versus yeah. like, do this quiz. Like doing a quiz is so much more powerful than being told something or spoken at. Like do these steps, practice that for yourself and cross out what you don't like.
Yeah. And then share it amongst your friends. And yes. then like tell all of your friends how they can be intimacy and sex experts.
And put us out of a job.
Ah. Yeah. yeah. Oh yeah, that's true. Whoops.
Right. But then we'll be, you know, there's still a place. I think the same thing happened with photography. Right? Like there was the iPhone boom and now everyone had a camera. Now everyone's taking great photos and the photographers were like, well, what about us? Like, there's still a place for you. But photography is about the ability to capture a beautiful moment. Everyone should have that power.
Yeah. And everyone should have the power to be able to have fulfilling relationships, like whatever.
Can we drop the mic right now, Hannah? Because
drop the book.
Drop the book.
Thud. What do you think, like, the participants got out of it?
I would hope that they got out of it, number one, incredible relationships with each other. We really did form, like, a sisterhood, like, a bond that I don't even think I'll fully appreciate till I'm all gray.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're changed people. One of the girls yesterday, for example, in the book, she identified as anxious, like, extremely anxious. She went to therapy, so that was one question I had to ask before because I'm not equipped to deal with somebody who has chronic anxiety.
Yeah.
But she had already gone to a therapist. At this point, she was like, I'm just tired of my anxiety being the center point of my life.
Sure.
She'd never been in a relationship before. She had never dated. She identified as pansexual, yet had never had any same-sex interactions. And so for her, it was just like, I've been too afraid. And I went to her birthday party last night, and she was dressed in like this Charlie's Angels outfit.
Oh, nice.
Had all her friends around her, just the center of attention, so comfortable in her sexuality, so comfortable talking to people. When she first came in the group, she barely spoke at all. And yeah. she'd start every time that she did speak with, I'm extremely nervous right now. And I just see this whole other person now. I don't take full credit for that. I think it's the group and the think tank of like love and support.
Yeah. And also she would have had to put in the work.
Exactly.
For that as well.
Yeah. So like that's one person that I think I'm extremely proud of. But one of the other girls started her own relationship like meme page.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Everything on there I could repost. Like she gives me knowledge now. Like she's spitting game on me.
I need this. You'll have to send me
it's
the
2 a.m. Priscilla. Yeah. It's really, really good.
2 a.m. Priscilla. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much, Shan, for coming on my podcast.
Thank you.
And just for sharing your wisdom and letting us all be intimacy experts.
I can't believe that we are book buddies.
Yeah.
Both summer 2019.
Summer 2019.
Summer 2019, baby.
It's the time for buying all of your books about intimacy and your bodies and periods and all of that good stuff. What is your book called?
The book is called The Game of Desire. It is available July 23rd, everywhere that books are sold. And I promise you guys will get something out of it. It's a really fun book.
Yeah. And for me, like I'm in a relationship and already I'm like, this is incredible. And I love like nerding out about these kinds of things. And I know that's like what your passion is as well. You're yes. like, let me get into the details. So I love that. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Doing It. If you enjoyed it, I would really appreciate it if you left a rating and a review. You can find show notes at doingitpodcast.co.uk and do go follow us on social media and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye. This was a Global Original podcast.